This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here's David Allen, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
It was a good weekend for a lot of Bronco fans. Bob Beeler joining us in studio here for Bronco Monday alongside Chris Walton. Morale builder, morale boost, Bob?
Yeah, played well. Solid win, 24-7 over BYU, a game in which really other than that one drive that BYU had, BYU never threatened to score again, never got closer than the 36-yard line. So defense, again, back to what we expected to see. And the thing coming out of the bye week that impressed me the most was that they were able to run the ball. First time they had a 100-yard rusher, career-high 118 for Alexander Madison, and did it without arguably their best offensive lineman, Mason Hampton, who was injured at center. Garrett Larson took over. Garrett had played guard and actually had gotten replaced the Virginia game as a starter, and I thought he did a marvelous job at center. So the line and the running game, I thought, were the big differences and the big improvements coming out of bye.
Undoubtedly, it's great to have confidence going into the San Diego State game because San Diego State's going to be a little different than BYU, we assume.
Yeah, they're going to be a little more difficult to stop. BYU offensively is very, very challenged this year. But with Rashad Penny, who is one of the guys that is one of the elite players in college football, he needs 7 yards against Boise State to get to 1,000 for the season. So Boise State's going to have to be ready to stop the run. They did it against BYU, but a little different test this week. You're going against one of the best running backs in college football.
The season's not even half over yet. That's, wow.
He can get those 7 yards as long as they shut him down overall.
Yeah. And well, I think Boise State would be happy to give him 100 yards.
Okay.
I think that the further north of 100 that Penny gets, the worst chance for Boise State to win. He's gonna get yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's gonna get his. You're gonna have to just don't let him get the 50-yard run. You know, stop him. You know, short of first downs, tackle, make it difficult for him. But it's going to be a great challenge for the defense. I think they're up to it. Offensively, they're getting better, it looks like. It's a different kind of offense. They don't race up and down the field and score 40 points a game, but they were efficient, and they did a good job holding on to the ball and getting first downs and keeping their defense off the field.
They were able to execute the way they wanted to. That's what it seemed. They showed to me a lot more confidence rather than holding on by a fingernail like they had in a couple of other games. I saw more poise. More poise in the pocket, more poise with the run, more poise with the defense than I had at any other point this season.
And they decided they wanted to run. They really didn't air it out a whole lot. It wasn't a game where they were going to let, Brett throw it around the yard.
Sure.
Because, once they got ahead 17-7 at the half, to me, you were going to be your own worst enemy. Because BYU's offense was not that good, and certainly in comparison to Boise State's defense. So at that point, once they pushed over that one touchdown in the second half to take it to 24-7, to me that was game, set, match, because BYU wasn't coming back.
Well, the good part of this game, too, is when there needed to be a pocket, there actually was a pocket. No sacks.
Everything was much, much improved. Yeah. Of course, 2 turnovers, which were big. The one they gave up on the first drive gave BYU the short field inside the 50-yard line. That's the only time their offense moved the ball game.
Now, at the same time, though, you're dealing with a quarterback at BYU that's dealing with a bum wheel and not going to be dealing with that with San Diego State.
No, and they don't ask Chapman to be Luke Falk either.
Okay.
So they throw him a little bit. He's completed this season 63% of his passes. They only throw for 161 a game.
Oh, wow.
That's not a high number, but they run it for over 200. So they're going to look to run first and second and maybe throw third.
So that's just running drills all week long, different tape.
Stopping the run.
Oh,
I mean, that's going to be the key. If you don't stop the run, it's going to be a long night in San Diego.
As far as San Diego's running game, though, what do they tend to run? I mean, are they running power? Are they running off tackle? Are they all
they run above? They run a lot. They run power, and then they'll also, Penny, if he gets into the secondary, can bust away from you. So he's as good a running back. I mean, Pumphrey, who was the running back last year that set the rushing records, career rushing records in the NCAA, much more of a shorter, smaller, quicker back this guy's fast, but this guy's also got some size. He's listed at 5'11", 220. So he looks more like the back the BYU had, Tolatau, but runs way faster than Tolatau.
We had to be probably happy with special teams, too. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that we have a kicker who hasn't missed yet.
Shh.
Oh, yeah. Hang on.
The special teams, the punting, there were some great punts that flipped the field.
Yeah, 50 yards a punt. That's
right.
Pretty good.
So the special teams, you're right. Boise State won the special teams, and Boise State defense and offense both were better than BYU. It was a very solid win, and that's why it was 24-7.
A couple of punts down inside the 20. It's a good game.
I want to get you on the defense, too, as far as what the Broncos need to be prepared for coming out of we've talked about the offense. What I meant to say is talk about the offense and dealing with San Diego State's defense. How do we attack them?
Their defense is very
mobile,
very
quarterback
aggressive.
Versus
well for Boise State's offense against
sure.
their defense, they have a lot of blitzes.
Mm-hmm.
They are very active. They run a 3-3-5. Rocky Long's defense is like nobody else's. It's sort of like playing the option. You know, his is very, very different. They are plus 8 this year on the turnover. They've intercepted 8 passes. They've gotten 4 fumbles, and they've been very stingy. They allow 19 points a game. This is probably the best defense in the Mountain West Boise State's going to see.
Are we going to be able to play a game like we did against BYU where, I mean, the longest offensive play was 24 yards, mm-hmm. right?
That's how you win the game.
Okay.
For us or for them, the 24 yards?
For Sean Monster. I mean, the
touchdown was the
right.
longest. Yeah,
right.
I think it's going to be a similar kind of recipe. I think it's going to be, for Boise State to win, I think it's going to need to be fairly low scoring. Defense is going to have to be on point and, you know, maybe win it 27-21, something like that.
Bob Beeler joining us in studio. It's Bronco Monday. We'll hear from Coach Harsin when we come back.
This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and talk about the upcoming schedule. Now here's Chris Walton and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Bob, we got Coach Harsin's thoughts.
We certainly do, and the first thing we chatted with him after the game was on the return of the running game, 100-yard rusher in Alexander Madison, about what he saw from his sophomore back.
Well, I think, one, it started up front, and I thought the tight ends, O-line, were doing their job. I thought those guys were moving and denting the defense, and then Alexander just ran physical and hard. He ran violent tonight. You know, Alexander's got that ability to do that. We talked about, what he did last year. And he had a couple of shots in there when we played BYU. And so we brought those back up and we showed him. And, you know, it was really just a mentality. How do we go out there and play the way we're capable of playing in the run game? And I thought he did that. And the guys up front, more importantly, were doing their part in creating windows of opportunities for the run.
I like that term, running violent.
And that's what he did. And that's what Rashad Penny does for San Diego State. So, if we have the same Alexander Madison that we saw against BYU run against San Diego State, we're going to have a couple of really good running backs out there. So that was big. Now, one of the things that was a big watchword coming out of the bye was staying on schedule. And what that means was running the ball or completing short passes enough to leave you with third and short as opposed to third and long. Coming into the game, Boise State was in the mid to low 30s as far as third down conversions. They were 4 out of 16 against Virginia. They were 8 out of 15 against BYU, and he thought that was a key to the victory.
You know, one thing, we were better on first and second down. In that first and 10, second and 6 or less, we were just better. We purposely wanted to stay out of those third and 10, third and 11 like we've been in. Those are just difficult downs. So we stayed on schedule because we ran it. We stayed on schedule because we were efficient. I thought Brett had some good throws in there, some ball control that were kept us, you know, in second down and manageable on third downs. And really when you can do that, you know, it opens up a lot more of the playbook. When it's third and 4 versus third and 12, you can do a lot more. Mm-hmm.
Offensive and football 101 there too.
Yeah, and it's a lot like baseball. You know, when you're hitting in a 3-1 count, and you've got the pitching line in your favor, you've got a much better chance to get a hit. When it's 0-2, when it's 1-2, you got to hit the pitcher's pitch. It's the same thing. If you've got third and 3, you can run the ball, you can throw the ball, you can do whatever you want. If you got third and 10, they're pretty much going to let you run it because they don't think you're going to make 10 yards running the ball.
You're not as desperate.
So it makes a big difference when you're trying to do things. And lastly, you know, the defensive effort for Boise State was outstanding. BYU was only able to get 238 yards in the whole game.
Well, when I saw Tanner come out there and play for BYU, one, I think he's a tremendous competitor. And so he knew he was going to throw it. He was limited, you know, in what he could do running it. And I thought the defense did a good job of just clamping down in some coverage and being able to make him move a little bit in the pocket, which just got him away from being able to throw and be an accurate thrower like he is. You know, he hit us on some of the spacing plays and things like that. But overall, I felt like the defense, when it was time, you know, they really clamped down. They did a good job. They made a few plays on us, but we had the turnovers. You know, Keikoa's turnover early in the game, and then we had returns with it. Layden leaves the game and comes back in and gets a turnover. You know, those are big things. You win that battle, and you're able to create some momentum and yardage off of it. I think those guys did a great job. They practiced that way. It showed up in the game tonight.
Recap complete. We get our bags packed and focus nothing but on San Diego when we come back on Bronco Monday. Welcome back to Bronco Mondays here. Chris Walton, Bob Beeler joining us. Looking ahead to the Aztecs. San Diego State, which poll do you want to look at? Number 19, number 20?
Ranked, doesn't matter. They're there. They're good.
So you have a team with the Broncos that are going through their struggles, that are going through their growing pains, but still can play spoiler. Mm-hmm. And the chances are of possibly winning out, even if we were talking off air about this, Bob. Even if they lost this one, they still have to win out, and we could face them again in the Mountain West Championship.
Absolutely right. Because if you were to lose to San Diego State and you won out the rest of the way, that means you win all five of the division games. Mm-hmm. That means you'd have the tiebreaker over any of the teams. But I think getting a win at San Diego does a lot for the confidence, does a lot for saying, hey, we're improving, we're getting back. It's going to be a tough challenge. It's on the road. Haven't seen them in a couple years. The last time we played them was that 9-degree game back in 2014, so they were off the schedule in 15 and 16. But these are the two teams that were picked at the beginning of the season to win their respective divisions. Boise State 1-0 in the conference, having already beaten New Mexico. Key game. Whoever wins this one is going to be in the best position probably to run the table in the conference.
Yeah, San Diego State had very little problem over the weekend.
No, UNLV gave them no real pushback, 41-10 in that game, but they've had some close shaves. Arizona State was a 10-point win. Stanford was a 3. They had to come from behind in that one. They only beat Air Force by 4. That was another come-from-behind win, and they beat Northern Illinois by 6. So it's not like they've been routing everybody.
Yeah, they keep saying, I mean, a lot of teams say that, well, you haven't seen our best game at the year yet, but they said it after this weekend as well. They keep saying we haven't played as well as we can yet.
Who said that? Boise
San Diego State.
I was going to say Boise State.
State.
Yeah, I think probably could say the same thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, Boise State's defense is going to have a similar performance like they did against BYU. I think, as I said, the lower the scoring game, I think probably better for Boise State.
San Diego State has their best start since 1975 when they started the year with 8 straight victories. They want the New Year's 6 game. They want the money. They want the
I think they want the prestige as much as anything, because you know they've won back-to-back Mountain West championships. So I think the next step for them is a New Year's 6, and to get it, they'll probably have to run the table.
And the rest of the conference still going after Boise State as that target for that prestige, because Boise State's always going to be viewed as the leader in this conference.
Yeah, this is though the first time this game, San Diego State, I think, opened as a touchdown or so favorite. This is the first time since 2013 when Boise State went to Fresno that they haven't been favored.
Oh, wow. Bob Beeler, voice of the Broncos, appreciate the time, sir.
Thank you, guys.
All right, when we come back, Chris Walton, we have stuff.
We do. We'll talk a little bit about the vice president, what he did yesterday, and what you think about it one way or the other.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Was it worth it?
That's a very good question. What we're talking about, Vice President Pence, yesterday, he had been in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And flew to Indianapolis to be there, because he used to be governor of Indiana. So he was there at the unveiling of the Peyton Manning statue in front of the Colts stadium.
David Letterman doing a funny speech there as well.
Yeah. So, it was an event. Obviously, it was an Indiana event, and he wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But then they went into to watch the game, I guess. And when some players from the 49ers, the opposing team, now nobody on the Colts knelt during the national anthem. Everybody stood. During the national anthem, some of the 49ers players, as they've been doing for some time, they knelt. And the vice president said that he left because of that and that he was very indignant about it and he didn't, you know, want to participate in anything where that sort of thing was going on. He and his wife left the game. And then right after that, the president tweeted that he had told him to do that. He said, if anybody kneels, you know, be sure and leave. And apparently also the reporters on the plane said that they had been told, you know, don't even get off the plane because we're not going to be very long. We'll be back right after the national anthem or something of that nature. So he was going to leave apparently anyway.
Right.
So there are some people that said, you know, why even fly to Indianapolis for the whole thing? And I think it was mostly for the unveiling of the statue, you know, for the pregame ceremony and things like that. But there were some people who criticized it yesterday. Actually, a bunch of people, if you looked at Twitter and Facebook, who criticized it as simply a stunt. And it was bad timing for a stunt that involved air travel.
Correct.
Paid for by taxpayers, simply because you were at the end of a week when you had one cabinet member, Tom Price, who had resigned because there was a bit of a scandal about how he was using private jets and things when he apparently just as easily could have been traveling commercially.
Cost is a factor. C-32, according to the Air Force, the same kind of plane used for Air Force 2. 1 hour cost $30,000. Vice President's flight from Vegas to Indianapolis took 3 hours, 20 minutes. That's about $100,000.
Now, and there are some people who immediately say, well, you know, what about other, you know, people who have done this and what about other people who have done that? Well, that I understand your point there. You know, you can compare it to what other presidents, other secretaries of state, any might come to mind, what they've done in the past. And it's just interesting because this is a time, this is an administration that said they weren't going to do things like that. And it's just kind of, it started to become an issue that there, you know, with the golf weekends and whatnot, that there's an awful lot of air travel being used. There's an awful lot of golf being played. There's an awful lot of trips being taken that it was part of the campaign that said, you know, that we're not going to do what Obama did. Obama did this and he did it wrong and he did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. And it's like, you know, once the election was won, that just kind of went out the window.
The vice president needs to fly on Air Force 2, unlike other members of the cabinet.
Let's put it this way. Legally, any plane the vice president is on is called Air Force 2.
Sure, right.
And, okay.
And I'm saying that he's not going to fly commercial.
Well, true.
He needs to be more protected than the department or figurehead. They don't need security.
Yeah. Now, Tom Price said before he either was resigned or resigned, he said that all the trips he took were necessary and it was necessary for him to fly privately, not because of security reasons, but because there weren't flights available for, you know, to be there at a certain time, a certain place, that he'd have a late meeting and had to be at, you know, another meeting in another city. And I don't dispute any of that. Maybe that's exactly what he thought. I don't know. And the Secretary of the Treasury, Mnuchin, he has been criticized because he has requested, I don't think he got them, but he has requested military flights where commercial flights were actually available. And he says it's for security reasons and things like that. And if he believes those are the reasons, chances are he's telling the absolute truth. However, this particular, because of the way, you know, the vice president said, well, I'm not going to participate in this sort of thing. That's why we left the game. And then the president says, yeah, I told him to leave the game if this happens, and the reporter's saying, well, we were told that he'd be leaving the game, people started to say, well, that was just a stunt. And since the entire trip cost about $250,000 for taxpayers, this was a $250,000 stunt, and we already knew how they both felt about kneeling during the national anthem.
So we
again, though, I mean, I still look at it as though he probably wanted to be in Indiana for this particular event.
Sure. And now we've talked about the financial cost.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's also the emotional cost, because there are a number of fans, myself included, I'm tired of it. I'm over the whole, and I was over it to begin with. Now, honestly, I have no idea other than they just want to do it. It seems like a fad. It's an ongoing fad. I'm tired of it. I want my football back on Sundays mm-hmm. without politics. That's what I want. At the same time, at some point, this is going to stop, and it's not going to stop at the command of the president. It's not going to stop at the behavior of the vice president leaving a game. But it is also reflective of a number of people. Oh, look. Players are still mm-hmm. sitting. Players are still kneeling. Players still aren't. Oh, you know what? Then the vice president's going to take off. Much like a lot of people have just turned off Sunday football. They stopped. You know, a lot of people are stopping tickets,
which is absolutely their right to do so. I mean, they are protesting the fact that there is protesting going on, and you certainly can counter protest or whatever you want to do. That's great. What I've said is that I continue to watch football because A, I like football. And B, I'm not so worried about the protest because I don't expect protests to if they're going to go on, I don't expect them to be convenient for me or to happen when I think they ought to happen.
Sure.
That isn't how people protest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I realize we have a right to protest, but I prefer to do it like, you know, let's get in there and discuss things in a meeting room or something like that, which we have a system for anyway. However, I'm not going to tell people they don't have the right to protest because it's right there in the Constitution. They do. Okay, so I don't even worry about it. They play the national anthem. First of all, I'm not at the stadium. I'm watching on television at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if they cover that, fantastic. If they don't, it really doesn't have a lot to do with me. Now, would I not stand for the national anthem? No, I will stand.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm also not protesting anything, and I probably wouldn't protest that way anyway. But I've just said straight out, it's not going to make me boycott anything just because they're doing that. People protest things all the time that I don't agree with, but I let them do it, and it doesn't really affect my daily life.
If somebody watches the NFL, it doesn't necessarily mean that they hate the country or that they hate the flag. They like football.
I don't know what. You know what? They might hate the country, but I can't make somebody love the country. I can't even make somebody show respect for the country because in America, you are free to feel and to do anything you want to do. If you break the law, then you break the law and you pay the consequence. That's for it. And we have a kind of protest that is called civil disobedience, where you actually break the law on purpose. And a lot of times you are expecting to be arrested and you are arrested. But of course, you still pay the consequence for that. Civil disobedience does not come without some kind of a penalty. But what these people are telling the NFL players is that you have a right to protest, only you don't have a right to do it at work. Well, the vice president was representing the president at basically, and you know, so he's at work mm-hmm. 24 hours a day, and he protested something by leaving, he said. So he was doing that too. So people do have a right to protest at work. Can you be fired? Yeah, the players can be fired. They know that.
By the owner.
But by the owner.
Not the country.
And Jerry Jones, I think, just he really pointed out that if you don't stand for the national anthem on the Cowboys, you're not going to play. Now, what he said was, we're not going to play. But I think what he meant was, if you don't stand, you don't play, period. In other words, I will fire you, I think was what he was saying.
Vice President Mike Pence leaving after the national anthem right mm-hmm. before the Colts 49ers game. Was it worth it financially? Was it worth it emotionally? Was it worth the energy of the vice president to go through this exercise? 208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon wireless phone, 1-800-529-KBOI. I think it was worth it. I'm not happy about the price tag, but I mm-hmm. think it was worth it. Want to hear more of your take next.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
Today's KBOI rewards code is STUNT. Spell it correctly. At 670KBOI.com, get yourself 5,000 KBOI rewards points.
Instant message from Anna, who simply says, Pence, NFL players, and every American have the right to protest, but spending $240,000 of taxpayer money to stage it, that's not a right, and it's also not right.
And that's the question that's on the table.
And it's like I said, I mean, he apparently, on the schedule, he wanted to be at this game anyway, as part of the tribute to Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of whether he had walked out during or right after the national anthem or not, or said anything, I don't necessarily believe it was a stunt so much. It was just, you know, it's the vice president flying on Air Force Two. It's what happens.
And a week ago, a prayer vigil for Vegas victims wasn't on the schedule. Okay. That wasn't part of the itinerary for his week. That changed.
And Owen says, Mike Pence's political stunt trip to the game cost $242,000, which could have housed and fed 8 homeless vets for an entire year. Well, okay, and if you want to put it that way, I mean, that doesn't sound good, but they wouldn't necessarily have used that money to house homeless vets, but you know what I mean.
208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone, 1-800-529-KBOI. Sheldon gets me on Facebook, says there's lame and there's Mike Pence lame. Not only was it wasteful, but it furthered our political divide and portrayed ignorance and lack of empathy. Poor leadership.
We've had 3 consecutive messages then that people have not been particularly in favor of this.
So aren't the players doing the same thing, though? I mean, that's why ratings are down. That's why fewer people are buying tickets.
Well, in these particular messages that I'm reading, I think what they were mainly concerned with was taxpayer money.
Sure. And again, I'm not happy with the money going to it. I'm not happy anytime. I don't know if I call it wasteful, though, because the vice president is going to incur those costs no matter where he flies, no matter what he does. It costs a certain amount of money. He flies on Air Force Two no matter what. Flying Delta, I don't think, is an option. You know, flying on United isn't an option, and he wants his bags where he lands. So they want to. That's probably another reason why he wouldn't do that.
So do I, but sometimes that's not an option.
But if they have the right to kneel during the game, then the vice president of the United States has the right to leave.
Oh yeah.
In respect to the flag.
I don't even know if the whole discussion for the most part the last several weeks has not even been about rights. I mean, you do have a right to do these things that you're doing, but you also have, and the people who employ you have a right to be angry at you for it and to penalize you for it or whatever it is that your employer would do. You know, it's like I said, Paul Jay and I talked about this. If we decided to suddenly, you know, we're on the radio and we decided to suddenly go off and do things as a protest that we know we're not supposed to do on the radio, mm-hmm. we would not be the only ones who would have something to say about it.
Sure.
And we would have to pay the consequences for it. Now, as far as I don't think that any players necessarily have been fired or, you know, have been told to sit down or anything like that since they've been kneeling, with the exception possibly of the guy who started it. And that's debatable anyway, because you can't necessarily just assume that someone on a pro football team hasn't been picked up because people don't like his politics. It could be they don't like the way he plays the game. You never know.
We know why Vice President Pence left, though. I don't know why so many players on the 49ers are kneeling with their hands over their hearts. I don't know why. I still don't
know.
I know why
they say. They say they're still protesting police brutality against black people. So there you are.
But it varies. It varies per player. 208-336-3700, #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone. Let's go to Ted in Boise. Ted, you're on 670 KBO. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, listen, I find it ironic that somebody resign because he was using a government-paid...
Tom Price.
Tom Price, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the vice president, for Pete's sake. We can go back to Obama and his trips to Hawaii and everything else, and Michelle... I mean, and don't get me wrong. I mean, all the presidents and first ladies do this. So let's quit harping on Prince Pence. He left because he didn't like what happened. I wish him the very best. Because I would have done the same thing. But then again, I'm a veteran, so I don't appreciate what's going on. And Chris, if you want to jump on me for that, go right ahead. But that's my preference. I think there could be other ways of doing it. And to harp on Pence, excuse me.
Sure, Ted. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that, Ted. Go ahead.
Which is ridiculous.
No, I'm not jumping on you for it. I wasn't jumping on anybody for it.
Appreciate the call, Ted. All right.
Was I jumping on people?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't. Stayed in your chair the whole time.
No, I said that, everybody's got the right to do what they're doing. And if you don't like it, you certainly have the right not to like it.
All right. If you know Paul Jay's play of the game... 208-336-3711. We'll get more of your opinions. We got news and possibly Paul Jay's play of the game when we come back.
Remember, you are listening to Paul Jay and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Was Vice President Mike Pence's leaving an NFL game after the national anthem worth it? And take that question to be however you take it. You can answer that question financially. You can answer it emotionally. However way you want to answer.
My answer was, if the trip was planned for him to be there, and he was in Las Vegas, obviously, to pay tribute to people there, and then he went to Indianapolis for the ball game to pay tribute, I guess, to Peyton Manning, because they unveiled their Peyton Manning statue and had some big, you know, pregame festivities. And then he was going to Los Angeles, I believe, for a campaign event after that. But these are things that he had planned to do anyway. As far as I'm concerned, that was what the trip was for. And so I don't mind the cost so much. But there are people who believe the only reason he went to Indiana was so that he could walk out of the game in disgust and make a point. And those people don't think that the money should have been wasted on that if it was, in fact, wasted.
208-336-3700. #670 on your Verizon Wireless phone. 1-800-529-KBOI. Your instant messages, Chris.
Boise Rabble Rouser says, Chris and Nate, American military deaths, Civil War, 620,000. World War I, 116,700. World War II, 416,800. Korea, 33,650. Vietnam, 58,220. Afghanistan, 2,386. Iraq, 4,487. Well, that's the last one. Total, 1,252,243. Over 1 million Americans have died, so that every American has the right to speak their mind and voice their opinion, even if their opinion is expressed by kneeling during the national anthem. And kneeling during the national anthem is as American a protest as any American can make. I honor America, those Americans who kneel during the national anthem to protest the country's social justice problems.
Boise Rabble Rouser, way to type up a nice long email and not answer the question.
Well,
was it worth it that Vice President was it worth
it? Okay, let's put it this way. I mean, he didn't say that the Vice President did anything wrong, and if the Vice President wanted to make the trip to protest, then that's what he did. But there again, you know, taxpayer expense, who knows?
208-336-3700. Let's go to Pat out there in Washington County. Pat, you're on 670 KBOI. Go ahead, Pat.
Good morning, gentlemen. One little thing. Football, pro football, is a pleasure. People don't have to think about mowing the lawn. They don't have to think about politics. It's a relaxing thing for them to do. It is for me. So consequently, when you bring politics into a fun game, I don't care whether they get paid for it or not, a game that you don't have to participate in, I think it's terribly unfair when you throw politics into it. Now, this is my flag and my country, not everybody else's, but mine. The minute I see it, I don't do it. I just watch college football. They don't do that. Now, if somebody comes on my property, I have a flagpole, and they don't honor my flag, respect my flag, but they live under the protection of my flag and my country. They have an obligation to support my country. If you don't want to do that, you're more than welcome to go somewhere else, but leave your money here.
Okay.
Any comments, gentlemen?
Well, no, not necessarily.
Are you happy that part of your tax dollars, Pat, went toward Vice President Pence taking a trip that some see as a stunt?
All right, let's go something. I can go back a little further than you, young man.
I'm sure you can.
I can.
At least 1 year. I mean, I think you're only 1 year older than me. Go with it.
Michelle, my belle, went to Africa with her two daughters. And she took Air Force Two. You know what Air Force Two is supposed to be for? That's if Air Force One doesn't run, it's for the president, okay? It's not just for Michelle or any other female to run around in. And she went to Africa, and to get it, and she was there for quite a long while on Air Force Two, and the only person official she could meet to make it a government thing was the head of a garbage plant. And if you don't believe me, you can look up your history, because I can.
Pat, I think if I were to question you, you'd come down here and whoop me.
So you're against the Vice President's trip too, then?
No, it doesn't bother me, because he can get back home real quick. And if Trump couldn't get into Air Force One, and then the vice president takes over as the commander-in-chief until everything's situated.
Pat, I appreciate the call. Chris, a lot of people go back to the Obama administration. Well, they did this. Nancy Pelosi did that. Michelle Obama racked up so many dollars and miles, and Obama racked up so many miles flying to Hawaii and back. And if that bothered people then, as it did, if it wasn't right over the past, 8 years ago.
Right.
Then
one might assume that the same people would point out the same misuses of government money now.
Was this a misuse, though?
Well, that's
a question.
Again, I don't think the trip itself was. I think if you pretend that the whole thing was just a stunt, or if in fact it was just a stunt to go and give Donald Trump's opinion of kneeling during the flag, maybe it wasn't worth $250,000 to make the point that he's already made over and over and over. I mean, do we not know what Mike Pence and Donald Trump, and did we not know before this weekend what they thought of this?
No, we knew.
No, we knew. We've known since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like it. They don't care what the reason is. They don't care what the excuse is. Stand for the national anthem. That's all there is to it as far as they're concerned.
208-336-3700.
The only thing I ever ask people is, if somebody doesn't respect the flag, would you rather they pretend they did or actually show that they don't?
#670 on your Verizon wireless phone. More of your take when we come back.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul, Jay, and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
That guy's pretty good. Yeah. Have you ever heard that guy's show?
What station is it on?
Thanks. I have a feeling, you know.
I can definitely say I have heard things about him. Okay, Mark Meridian says this was a political statement. The expenses should have been paid for by his political campaign, according to law. All right, well, interesting. Of course, we don't know necessarily that he's running for anything at the moment.
Hmm.
Has the vice president declared that he's going to run for vice president again in 2020?
Not that I know of.
Well, still could be. Bob in Meridian says, after Obama's regimen, probably regime, I've grown used to politicians wasting our money at their whim. I also don't see Pence as a divider because many of my friends and I haven't watched the NFL since Colin Pencilneck and many many other overpaid athletes first kneeled last year. Therefore, we weren't even watching yesterday. Okay. And let's see, Jeff Aparma says, instead of leaving after the banner, why wouldn't Pence stay and try to meet with the players after the game? Heck, he may have learned something firsthand, or taught something, I guess I should add. And let's see, what else? Patrick of Caldwell says, morning, guys. I think people are falling for the same old media trick of twisting words. You said the reporters on the plane claimed they were told not to leave the plane because they were going to leave anyway. I suspect they were told to wait and see if the players kneel. If so, then they would be leaving. If that is the case, then there is no real story. However, if they report that they were told they were leaving no matter what, now it's a story. As for the security detail not leaving the motorcade, this is not out of the ordinary because the motorcade and all of the Secret Service agents need to be ready to go at a moment's notice in case of an emergency. The hypocrites on the left, like Sheldon, who want to climb up on their high horse, sure didn't have much to say about the prior administration's massive spending on non-job-related activities. I think this is a mountain out of a molehill. On the other hand, whether they were told to stay on the plane because we're leaving anywhere, or stay on the plane in case people kneel, to me it's the same story. And Bob says, Chris, a person only has First Amendment rights versus the government, not an employer, which is the NFL. No, a person has First Amendment rights all the time, but their employer can also fire them for exercising them if they want. I never once said that the employer didn't have the right to fire you if you're doing something he doesn't want you to do. But you have First Amendment rights 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
208-336-3700. Let's go to Rick in Boise. Rick, was it worth it?
I just have to say, was it planned? I don't know. The thing I just wish is, I got to throw this out. This 18-year-old kid goes from Boise, Idaho, to an aircraft carrier and does 6 months out at sea, circa 76. At least 12 hours a day, guaranteed. 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We learned to get along with each other. We learned to interact. We learned to joke. We learned to care. We learned to understand. And it took 6 months of real good training and on both sides. And, boy, I tell you what, I have some friends, people that I'll never forget. And they took care of me. Boy, I got myself sunburned like hell, and they took care of me. They hid me in the fuel station so that my bosses didn't go. Anyway, it's all about learning about each other. And I guarantee you put them on a flight deck of an aircraft carrier out at sea for 6 months, and they'll learn. We all are just people. That's all I have.
Appreciate the service, Rick. Appreciate the take. Let's go to Bill. Bill. You're on 670 KBOI. He was talking about
it. Good morning, Nate. Oh. Good to hear you up and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning.
Well, I'm at least up.
Okay. there's a religious group called Seventh-day Adventists. They don't believe in the government, and they don't respect the flag, but you don't hear anything about them. Is this...
I don't know how many of them are playing NFL on Sundays.
That's just what I was getting ready to say. Is what these guys, these kids are doing, kneeling for flag. If the media wasn't focusing on them alone, people would probably not even think anything about it. But let them kneel, let them do what they want to do, and then go on and play the game, making such a big deal out of it.
Again, the question, Bill, was whether or not it was a waste of money. Since we pay for the, in some way, shape, or form, since we pay for the flight and everything, was it worth it?
I don't think so.
See? Simple. Brill, appreciate
it. There you go.
Simple question, simple answer. It's not a question of whether or not or why they continue to kneel or what we should make them do. Vice President Pence flies on our dime. We pay that.
This is a good point.
Thank you.
Oh, and by the way, Mike wanted to point out that official taxpayer-funded duty of any VP to attend any football game, it's not. He says it was a boondoggle. Right. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Hi, this